really was not so long ago in terms of when we got together that we would not have been allowed to be with one another. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. The fact is, I don't think we'd be together if, you know, I don't think either one of us would have had the fortitude, the strength to combat and risk being killed, etc. Personally, it might sound a little cowardly, but personally, I would have said, I love you, but I don't know that I'd be willing to have put my life on the line for our love. And that scares me, but...
Well, the thing is, I don't think it necessarily even would have gotten that far.
Yeah, we wouldn't have met.
We wouldn't have met, yeah. We probably wouldn't have been in the same video dating service.
No.
Donna is black and Craig is white. They met and married in the 1980s, about 20 years after a Supreme Court decision that overturned state laws banning marriages between people of different races. They're just one of the many couples we've interviewed over the past 6 months as part of the Loving Project.
The Supreme Court ruling that made interracial marriage legal across the United States came out of a case called Loving v. Virginia, and it was named for Mildred and Richard Loving, a black woman and a white man who were jailed and then forced to leave their home state of Virginia after marrying. They took their case all the way to the Supreme Court, which issued its ruling on June 12, 1967.
In each episode of The Loving Project, we share the story of one interracial married couple. But in this special Loving Day episode, we're doing something a little different. We've asked every couple we've interviewed for their thoughts on the 50th anniversary of the decision that made marriages like theirs legal.
In this episode, we hear some of their answers, including responses from couples who have been together since the 1960s when the Loving v. Virginia decision came down, and others who grew up in a world where interracial marriage was already legal, although not always widely accepted.
It was only 9 years before I was born that happened, that decision. I didn't have many Indian kids around me, so I never thought I would marry someone Indian because there weren't any around. And so I just think, like, what a weird, messed up thing to think that people have to choose only from among their own kind, whatever that means, you know.
A few years ago, the St. Louis Magazine did an issue about romance, and the cover photo was a black man and a white woman kissing. And they got tons of hate mail. And this was, this is like 5 years ago. This is not 50 years ago. And I remember reading about that and just feeling like the people who are upset about this are the worst, most disgusting kind of racists. I can't find a lot of sympathy for people who have a problem with this. The folks who are mad about immigrants stealing their jobs, I think are wrong. But I understand that for many of them, the fear comes about them losing their own job. It's about a concern that they've lost their place in the world. I can have some sympathy for those folks, even while I think that there's also prejudice wrapped up with their thoughts, and I want to disagree with them and I want to have a conversation with them. The people who don't want people across races to marry are just racists and just gross. They're just bad people, and I don't have any patience for them.
Yeah, for me too, it's interesting because, growing up and being Indian and being a Hindu, there's a caste system and there's a lot of taboo around cross-caste marriage as well. And my dad's brother married outside of his caste and was just like hated by my grandmother for a long time because of that. And it's very controversial. I just think like all over the world, there are these ways in which we don't allow ourselves to connect. To me, it doesn't make sense. I don't get mad about it. I just feel like it's dumb. Like, it's not hurting you if I marry this guy. It's not hurting you in any way. And also, like, why wouldn't you want it? Like, it's just human connection. There's nothing wrong with that. So I just find it perplexing.
Dave and I have been together for, what, like almost 12 years or something? Of course we would be able to be together. Right? Like, of course. Who are you to say that I can't be with him?
It's obviously you can be with whoever you want to be with when I'm growing up. And then hearing about the Loving story and stuff like that. And it was only like in the 60s that this happened. And it's like, oh my God.
I am so grateful for them. I am so grateful that they were strong enough. Because when it gets really hard, not everyone can do it, you know? Yeah. Not everyone's gonna just like, you know, we're gonna keep fighting for this. You know, sometimes it's like, is love enough? Do I love you enough? Like, are we in this enough to go all the way? I'm so grateful for them because it's not easy. You know, I think relationships aren't easy all the time. I mean, they're not hard all the time, but you know, it takes work and that's some real work. And I think when you are like, I love this person enough that I don't care what anyone else has to say, and we're going to do this and we're going to be together. I'm just so appreciative of that.
Family friend who was an attorney wanted us to know that if we were planning to be married in North Carolina, which is where my parents lived, and that was our plan, we couldn't because it would be illegal unless this case was decided in favor of the Lovings. Had the decision gone the other way, we were going to still be married, but the wedding was going to take place in Boston, where we were living.
I was quite prepared to be married in Boston because I knew we could get married in Boston. But I also knew that marriage in a state where it is legal does not necessarily have that same legality in another state. So when the decision did come down, we were married in Greensboro in the family church, and it was recognized as a valid marriage everywhere across the land.
But we did carry our marriage certificate
with us everywhere.
In the glove compartment of our car.
That's right.
For at least a couple of years before I think we felt safe enough to say, we're married or something. When I think back on it now, I think how bizarre that was. Other couples don't even think about doing that. But we felt somehow that we might be called upon to prove that we had some legal status.
We never did.
We never had to whip it out. I think after 2 years, we just put it away.
Put it with the wedding dress. But the recognition, I think, that there were issues came still as quite a shock. We really were just regular people wanting to start a normal life, be married, perhaps have children. And it turned out we had to do some things that were a little beyond what other people needed to do.
I found out about Loving when I was very young. There was like a not that great TV movie made about them. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even know this was like a thing. But it was shocking to me even then. That doesn't seem like that long ago for something that seems so natural to be something that was against the law. It's even less time for like a queer couple. Like Melissa and I are two adults who love each other. Like it is a consensual, healthy, for the most part, loving and, you know, stable relationship. But there are still obstacles for a couple like us to make our marriage legal when, like, anyone can get drunk and go to Vegas and, like, you know, as two straight people make it happen, you know? Like, that seems crazy to me. But, like, we'd have to wait years. I mean, like, it just seems so backwards to me that, like, if you're a couple that is in love, that wants to get married, like, whose business is it other than yours? Like, what you look like or, you know, what's in your pants. It's sad that it took so long for either one of those things to happen or that people had to go to court. It baffles the mind.
When you talk about the short breadth of time that only 50 years is, my intellectual specialty is the Middle Ages. I work on stuff that's 1,000 years old, even more commonly stuff that's 600 and 700 years old. So yeah, 50 years is nothing. And in some ways, I'm actually quite excited and proud of us as a society for how far we have come in 50 years. We've actually come quite a long way, it is much more common to have interracial couples and interracial families now. There are a lot of people, a lot more people who are adults who identify as bi or multiracial than there were in 1967. That said, what happened in November really hit home because it crashed down a lot of our, in some ways, defense mechanisms, the bulwarks we've put up around the circles we roll in, that we've put up around our individual families. Those forces we were always fighting against are still very much present. They just became invisible for a while. And they've become quite visible again.
We have two children. One looks very much like me. The other one is very light-skinned, white. You would think that she's completely white. And I think after this election, I felt very scared about like what our family could potentially go through. I just got Trevor Noah's book about that, you know, basically he was considered a crime. And, you know, sort of what he had to grow up with, you know, his black mother and his white father and, you know, his father couldn't really even acknowledge him on the street. So thinking about, you know, 50 years ago and, you know, that this couldn't happen, you know, what if it did? How would our family, I mean, we'd be much like Trevor Noah's family in South Africa. I don't know. It creates a lot of, angst for me. I feel a little nervous about where we are. I feel like we've come so far and now I'm not sure where we're going.
It's interesting that she brings that up because I think that in a way, I feel like this should be celebratory. You know, I mean, we're talking about 50 years later. And I think it's almost like a newfound concern all of a sudden that came out of the blue, that issues that were formerly almost not only progressive, but just accepted for the most part, that you see younger generations dating, interracial couples that are dating. It hasn't been that long on the one hand. So on the one hand, it's sort of a really amazing thing to say, hey, look, this is incredible. Look at the progress we've done. And at the same time, let's embrace this because it's really not been that long. And 50 years later should be a celebration. And it is. But it's also, I think this is a reminder that you can go back. And I think there's fear that the clock could be turned back.
I think a lot about how much time feels like it's passed and versus how much time actually has passed. I've started reflecting a lot more on like the experiences that my parents had growing up. They would give me advice about how to move through the world as a black person and what kind of people to be careful of. There were times where I thought, well, these people are crazy. Like they have antiquated ideas about race. And I used to hope that our children wouldn't think that we were crazy. You know, they would think that we had a really good sense of what the world was like. Now I hope that they do, because that means the time has moved as quickly as it has for my parents. My parents are in their 60s. So like the Loving versus Virginia ruling was within their lifetime. They were like teenagers. And that's stunning to me. There are times that I feel really sad because I like to believe, we all like to believe, I think, that like time is just moving so quickly and we're so much further than we were. And life is so different. But it also is sort of reassuring because there are moments, you know, even in our relationship where one of us is perceiving something to be very different than the other person. And it's nice to have a reassurance that like, we're not crazy, that the world is actually a little bit slower and a little bit dumber, but I guess still trudging. 50 years is not a long time.
No. And I think for my family, my mom recently was in the car with me. We were talking about car insurance. And I took my car insurance card and I keep it on my dash under a little pillow so that it doesn't slide around. And she was like, that's really weird. Why do you do that? And I was like, well, I'm married to a black man and I'm terrified of being pulled over and going to the glove compartment. And because my husband's black, a police officer perceiving that there's a gun there. And so I keep the registration and the insurance on the dash. And my mom, you know, sort of looked at me and said, like, that's still a problem here, you know, like like in Pennsylvania or like in Baltimore when you're there. And I'm sort of looking at her like, are you looking at what's happening in the world? But for her, there have been these moments with my family where I think that, you know, it's like, oh, cool, like that decision happened, or like marriage equality, great. Like cool, check the box, we're mm-hmm. good. Like, my children are safe. You know, my mom talks about, you know, she now has two sons and what a beautiful gift of this expanding family. And then there's these sort of moments where she's like, oh my gosh, like the world is different than how I've thought it is. And so I think for me, you know, thinking about it's been 50 years, I think for my family, it happened like yesterday in some ways where it's like, wait, there was a problem? Mm-hmm. There was a time when my son couldn't do the things. It's just so shocking to them mm-hmm. In a way that really makes me remember like why it's so important to tell these stories mm-hmm. and for people to hear the stories from people that they're in relationship with, people that they love.
We'd like to thank Donna and Craig, Arthi and Jonathan, Courtney and Dave, Florence and Ed, Michelle and Melissa, Cord and Leslie, Christine and Craig, and Eric and David for sharing their stories.
You can hear more stories from interracial married couples by subscribing to The Loving Project in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever else you find podcasts. You can also find us in the NPR One app. Or check out our website at lovingproject.com for more details about the podcast and pictures of some of the couples featured in the show.
And if you're in the Philadelphia area this month, our Loving Project exhibit is open to the public on Saturdays, June 17th and 24th. You can find more information at our website. I'm Farrah Parks.
And I'm Brad Linder. Thanks for listening to The Loving Project. In the next episode of The Loving Project, we'll hear from Mike and Kim.
Mike is Asian and Kim is white. They've been together for about a decade. Shortly after they started dating, they went to a Halloween party together.
We walk in and this woman was dressed in like a stereotypical Chinese costume.
Coolie hat, a robe, buck teeth, the Coke bottle glasses. And then she comes up to me and she, you know, says, oh, can I take your picture? Like in the voice. And I was just like, get away from me. And I just walked past her. I was like, for like 10 seconds, I was just really confused. I was like, we still live in this world.
And I felt bad that was like my family. Like my brother would be friends with someone.
That was your brother's boss.
It was my brother's boss and his wife.
Kim and Mike's story, coming up next time on The Loving Project.